Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, you're rosin' up your bow and play your fiddle hard, 'cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings, and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in, and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, if you don't fight, no child, no." Devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Granny, we a dog fight, no child, no."
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to a special report, Florida Officials Traffic Human Organs with Ron Engel. I'm your host, Raquel Okai. This is a production of News Without Filters, Anderson Media. And we're just doing an hour report tonight, and I had invited Ron on to talk about this topic. He's a civil engineer and a writer and a researcher, and I've been talking to him on the phone for the past couple of days about all sorts of topics of corruption happening all across the United States, actually, when it comes to abuse of human life, really. But we're going to zone in on this human trafficking of organs that is coming in from all over the country and coming right into our home state, which is Florida. So with that, Dallas, if you can bring Ron.
Can you hear me?
Ronnie. Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Ron Engel. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. I have been living in Fort Myers Shores in Lee County, Florida since 2007. when I first arrived here, I would walk my St. Bernard dog downtown in Old Fort Myers because it reminded me of my town that I sold my house in, which was Oak Park, Illinois. When I would walk my dog, people would come up to me, and they knew that I had a MySpace page at the time, which has now been destroyed. And on that MySpace page, there were people that were reporting various incidences of, like, say, the Hispanic children in Texas, in Hutu prison in Texas. And they had reported on MySpace that children and the adult parents were being taken out on white double-decker train cars, which those would be the old Pullman cars that were auctioned off. They were Metra trains. And the doors were locked.
And those were illegal immigrants, right? Because I know I've heard reports of that happening and those people being sent to sort of like time that I heard about it.
When were you reporting about it?
Because MySpace is a little old, but when were you reporting about it? Like 10 years ago or something?
When did you say you came to
Fort Myers?
I managed the Chicago Public Schools for 5 years.
It was a giant paper route,
basically. 28 schools. I covered a huge area of the city. So, you know, the job was so stressful, they said nobody could take it over 3 months. Well, I put Excel spreadsheets together and managed it that way and computerized all the paperwork. So I was able to stay in the job, given the stress, and get the schools repaired. So after that, you know, the job became easier after about 2 years of being, you know, you get to learn the buildings and what's wrong with the mechanicals. But what I did notice was how many people were on the streets of Chicago. And, you know, you don't notice when people disappear, okay? I found an ICE document and I posted it in the radio link where this deportation of immigrants was to begin in 2003. Well, I was in Chicago Public School from 2001 until 2006, June
30th, 2006. I see. I was sort of in the thick of it when they started doing these maneuvers and shifting.
I didn't. You notice what's going on. You just see crowded schools, crowded streets.
Right.
Well, over time, I, you know, it was like when they were taking down the Cabrini-Green projects in the 90s, and I kept asking, where are the black people going? And they would tell me, oh, they're going to Wisconsin. Well, I drove up to Wisconsin in the late 90s and tried to find them. They didn't go to Wisconsin. So I connected the dots, like, where are these people going? And it's a definitive answer. They're being illegally organ harvested, not just in Illinois. They're being illegally organ harvested in New York State. I remember when Mayor Bloomberg got rid of the homeless people. I was reading the paper, the New York Times. He wanted to put them on cruise ships and ship them to Florida. Well, that may have been done. Once in Florida, they were basically fed genocide-type food. And if you don't believe that exists, internet search Henry Kissinger food genocide plan in 1974. It affects everybody. The quality.
Yeah, and in particular, some of the links that you have been sending to me the past couple of days, I did listen to one, and one caught my eye because one of the narrators is actually a friend of mine, Ken Blanchard, who wrote the book Black Man with a Gun. And I was really impressed to see him there because he's a radio talk show host. He's an author. He's a gun rights advocate, and he's a friend of mine. So when I was listening to him, and when he was telling the listeners that people are being particularly minorities, right? So the blacks, the Hispanics, immigrants, illegal immigrants, are being hoarded off to this and trafficked off on one charge or another. So it's either they're being taken, you know, forcibly through prison, through whatever it is they're trapped, that they're kidnapped, they're shuffled through, or they're being manipulated to travel to Florida for drug rehab, for psychological rehab. And then once they're there, the most horrific thing that turns up is that after they're being, killed, systematically killed in one way or the other, and the reason for it is this big money in organs for sale. So these organs are very, wanted. So we have all kinds of systems that have organs ready to go, right? The list, on the top of the list, organs available. You have to be a live body. In other words, what happens is, say you have a brain dead, you have a person involved in a brain, in an injury, and they're brain dead. And the family, or they have, do not resuscitate or pull the plug order or whatever it is. What they do when you're on a donor list is they actually keep your body sort of suspended alive so that those organs, they don't work in the transplants if they're not transported via already alive. Am I on the right path or not? Because what happens is it doesn't happen so often. So the need for the organs becomes great, very great, because it's not like you could just take the organs out of dead people, already dead.
I just posted something on your page.
Yes.
Because we were doing the radio show, I wanted to get more documentation. And I just posted it. It's from a National Geographic. And for over 30 years, a company in Virginia called LifeNet Health Incorporated has been warehousing and cryogenically freezing organs indefinitely. They use what's called people perhaps know what the pufferfish or the monkfish is. Well, about 6 years ago, a doctor, when I was walking my dog again, a doctor and his wife, he was, I think, from New York or New Jersey, he said he had left Florida, he had left the U.S. for South America. His wife was Asian, and he said, Ron, your number is low, because I thought, well, the body was, I was told 400,000. He said, no, Ron. It's 4 million by the time they take the bone marrow, the skin. It's so gruesome. And he said he couldn't do it. So he left. And he had his, and we had an ice cream cone. And they, his kids fed the St. Bernard, and he just said he couldn't take it. And he said something about a suspended state of animation indefinitely. And I will post right here. The company, that I just told you about is in Virginia.
You said LifeNet, I think. You said LifeNet?
Yeah, I posted it earlier. I sent you all these links. I know you're busy, but I here is the actual corporation. I don't recommend contacting them, but I do think, it won't let me post it. Go up in the National Geographic. It's LifeNetHealth.org. I don't recommend calling them. I just discovered this through the National Geographic entitled Inside the Body Trade Part 1. It's really gruesome. I just found this today for this show, and even
right.
I am.
So there you go. I mean, there you go again, with there's the big money there. So this is all science that wants to. I think we were talking about this the other night. It's science that people somehow want to recreate themselves, or
this is what they're doing. The insurance companies are extremely corrupt. So with the Henry Kissinger food genocide, like different things that shut organs down. I mean, take a look at some of the products on the shelves in your pharmacies. Okay, I looked sometimes, you got to get really, really good magnifying glasses to see the labels because they keep reducing the ingredients. the ingredients like in Miralac, ethylene glycol. Now that's radiator fluid. That's what old people would take to go to the bathroom. They could drink a glass of tomato juice or V8 or something, but their doctor tells them to take this Miralac crap. Well, they then have kidney failure, and their insurance.
Oh,
they're older,
and,
they've got
and,
good
and then
insurance.
The pharmaceutical companies, of course, you know, have all kinds of problems with the. I have received research on this topic, particularly read a lot of research about the damages caused by some of drugs, particularly prescribed to the elderly, and when it comes to their mental capacity.
That's right.
I don't want to get bogged down into that topic. I really want to bring it around back to the story that you had shared with me that was on NBC.
Yes.
And just briefly that there were a few parents that were complaining that they sent their children, young adult
yes.
children, to a
yes,
Florida
just...
rehab center and I watched part of it, most of it, to a Florida rehab center. And at that rehab center, both of their young adult daughters died of overdose.
Right.
And there are some alarming numbers of people overdose, so-called, and I'm going to say so-called, overdosing at this facility. And Ron Angel was making the case to me over the phone yesterday that part of the reason why they're doing that is to go ahead and sell their organs for the same purpose, and it's that organ trade.
That's right. It's keeping – I watched the NBC just – I rarely watch TV. I just happened to be watching the television when this NBC was actually on the TV in Florida, which I found remarkable. It talked about the fact that Florida was taking and they were paying for kids from all over the country to come to Florida for pain pill addiction or opioid addiction. And then it showed them dying like 8 a day. Well, I know because I've been researching the black market organ theft right away, bring them here. They're a commodity. And when you watch this NBC, now it's in that note that you put, it's in one of the comments, and I stuck that in there. Fatal overdoses, fraud plagues Florida booming drug treatment industry. So I think it was Palm Beach or whatever, or Florida.
It was Palm Beach, yes.
Yeah, it showed, okay, what used to be for tourism and happy times, well, those places are washed up, worthless. They've taken them for back taxes, the state of Florida. So they entice people from around the country, and that lady was from Ohio that lost her daughter. It was really sad. You know, it's beyond crying inside. I mean, can't even imagine. It just keeps repeating so many stories. And when I first got here,
the other thing I think that's important to share that was exposed in that story is that those moms had records of the Medicaid bills, and it was that their insurance companies were spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, daily on procedures or visits with doctors that they didn't even that their children had said no, I didn't do that, or they would go in for testing. And $10,000 later, they had a urine test, obviously this was a case of overbilling and, Medicaid fraud, on top of which they're all winding up dead.
That's
Why
right.
Is the Attorney General getting involved and doing anything about
my
this
friend,
that you know of?
My friend, and I'm not going to mention his name, but I met you through him, he's quite a researcher in the corruption. Florida is one of the most lawless places on the planet. The people here that move here, it's basically a trap. You're led here because of the nice weather. Well, you know what? You lose everything you have. They engineer it that way because they consider themselves fourth, fifth, and sixth generation Floridians. Remember, there was a civil war. Here I have been called horrible names. I've been called a Yankee. I've been called a swear word in front of the name Yankee. I didn't realize the Civil War was still going on. They brought.
Yeah, you know, when I came down here too about 5 years or 6 years ago, I ran into the same problem. So I'm here in Florida and I'm a New Yorker, and yeah, it's very, very different. And I do believe that it is a police state, and certainly you are right about rights. People complain a lot about New York City taxes, high taxes in New York. And while that's true, and New York has its problems, but you know what? I grew up in New York City, and I never saw so many police officers, like, you know, walking in the streets like I do here. And oh, not walking in the streets. They're in their cars following you around, like, they're, like, watching you, like, all the time, like, waiting for you to do something wrong. And it's just really strange and uncomfortable, actually, and unnecessary, I think.
Well, they're looking for you to have a car accident. They're looking for you to break the law. They're looking for you. See, it's all set up to entrap people, to bring them down here, make them think it's a great place, bring the rest of their family down here, and then it goes in cycles. When, you know, a storm comes, a big storm, every time, you don't realize it, but every time there's a large storm, when he declares a state of emergency, we're in martial law. When we're in martial law, technically they can shoot people and do it and get away with it. That's when that Dr. Teresa Sievers was murdered. Do you remember her? She was a famous alternative health doctor. She died.
Rings a bell.
Bonita Springs, she died sometime around June 2015. A few days later, no, first it was Dr. Bradstreet. Dr. Bradstreet was reversing autism, dementia.
Yeah, I know exactly about these. I had a guest on my program to discuss
the death.
Mm-hmm.
There was a tropical storm.
A string of deaths of medical doctors who were going against kind of what the government, you know, was putting out there. They were, particularly
right,
when it came to autism. Mm-hmm.
Because they were curing cancer. Because if they did that, there would be no business. Florida doesn't have factories. They don't make anything. They just bring people here. The hidden part of the tourism industry and what makes them big money is this human trafficking, which the hidden part of human trafficking, organ harvesting. And I've done a lot of research in this, and I've tried to find out where the people have gone, and it's not very pleasant to realize this has been going on, is continuing to go on, and it will continue to go on unless we write our congressmen and our senators. I just wrote Senator Nelson different aspects of this illegal organ harvesting from the NBC show, and it ties into the recent Medicare and healthcare fraud bust, the 400 doctors and nurses. Now, I don't know if you had time to watch the one.
Did he get back to you yet?
No. He always says thank you in his messages, and I called his office about not releasing, you know, voter information like our Social Security numbers, and they said they weren't going to do that, according to his office. But the thing that we have to realize is Rick Scott, our current governor, had 14 felonies in his health care company in Texas. He paid $600 million from that company to get out of jail, and somehow he became Florida governor.
He was sued, and he had to pay penalties, hundreds of thousands of dollars, Rick Scott, under that Medicaid fraud bust. It was found that what Rick Scott was doing under his insurance companies was drugging old people And I imagine, in the nursing home here, they were
improperly
harvesting too. Yeah.
Unnecessary.
Double dipping. The same idea as you were saying. Yeah, the same idea as you were saying, that slowly, like a slow killer. So a drug slow killer. And that's exactly what he was already doing. He was already doing that right here. So he gets out of it. He pays his fine. He runs for governor. The other thing that he does is he pushes for mandatory drug testing for Medicaid constituents. Why does he do that? Because he owns, at the time, about 75% or 80%, very, very high. He had a monopoly of all of the drug testing facilities that tested urine. So the entire state is on a frenzy to test everybody's urine for every little stupid thing you breathe. They want to test your urine. I mean, they're obsessed, which I think is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I mean, people on welfare didn't do anything wrong. They don't need to have if law enforcement believes you've been involved in a crime that involves drugs, and they want to get a warrant to get a drug test, go ahead. You know, that's your business.
Let me tell you another reason why they're doing that.
Fourth Amendment. But check this out. Let me just finish the point. You know what? You want to know what Rick Scott does? So he gets called out on it in the media. Hey, you own all the drug testing places. Well, you know, you're going to make money off this. That's why you're supporting it. So he says, I don't own them anymore. You know what he did? He transferred them to his wife. Transferred ownership to his wife.
I really dislike him very, very much.
Yeah, go ahead.
What the blood drawing is used for is, and a doctor told me this again, another, you know, doctor told
me
about
cool.
eight
Tell
years
me.
Ago.
Yeah.
About every 200,000 people, no matter what color, race, age, nationality, every 200,000 people's DNA is an exact match for non-rejection. So when they take your blood to drug test those people, they're also taking DNA to put in their DNA database to match in their global. This is a global.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. And a doctor told you that?
A doctor.
One of your contacts told you that?
I have a lot of people that wanted me to know over the years what was going on. This is not something that's just been going on for a short time. Maybe the DNA matching has been more recent. So there's no rejection drugs required. And, of course, it goes along with no gun control, because the more gunshot victims that die, the more organs, the more crime, the more organs. Everything is to feed this machine of putting that money into the state.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Gun control does not save lives. Sorry. That's say differently. Gun control does not save lives. Gun control laws do not save lives. But, I'm just saying. Okay, you can go ahead and continue.
I'm just saying, when we see these mass shootings, we're not quite sure who's doing them, right? It could be a group of people. It could be.
Well, sometimes people think it's some people think it's an act. I mean, some people think the government put it on. I've studied Second Amendment. I've been a gun rights writer. Many people consider me an expert on the topic. So I had to wait a second. Because you made a
reference
that gun control is, I know what the facts say on that topic. So, yeah.
I'm a pacifist, and I'm born Catholic.
Well, I'm a pacifist too, definitely too, and I'm totally a non-aggression. I believe in the non-aggression principle, but at the same time, I do believe in the Second Amendment wholeheartedly for many, many reasons. But we don't have to get into that right now.
No, we don't.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Ron.
I'm just saying that when we see these shootings, and sometimes you see families, you know, within the home and these shootings take place, I know often that those people are, you'll read that their organs were donated in the little blurb in the news all the time.
Oh, okay, got you.
And it really, it's almost like it could be a setup. I mean, what's to prevent them from taking all the people that have registered gun licenses one day and setting them up? You know?
Now, are you saying that you get on this list automatically, even if you've given blood for a test on a state level? So like you were saying, incentive in testing, you know, welfare people into Florida, you know, in order to get the services, is so that they can have their DNA put into a database that they're not aware of. So you can be not on the donor, but you can be in this database for the simple fact that, you know, to find any match worldwide.
Unfortunately, that's what I heard, and it's not very uplifting news, but it's true. And I've seen people disappear now since I got to, let's take it back to when I got to Illinois. I got to Illinois in 1992. There were tons of, good times in the Cabrini Green projects. When I was a kid, I watched that show and I enjoyed it. Well, I saw the vanishing of the Cabrini Green projects. I saw the vanishing of the Ida B. Wells projects. Now, I volunteered with the Catholic Church and a group of nuns from Wisconsin to go in and, you know, bring clothes to people and food, really things I normally wouldn't do, but I did it once a month just to be a good person. Well, I got to see how many people were in Chicago. And I kept saying, well, where are they going? And I would ask this to the people on the north side in Lincoln Park and in, downtown. And they would say, well, they're dying of diseases and they're dying of drug overdoses and they're shooting each other in the projects. And I bought that. And there were lots of Hispanics. And then all of a sudden, I started seeing them disappear. And I was talking with an old neighbor, World War II friend of mine, Byron Holland, and he said, gee, you know, in 1 year, 20 people died. And he was not Hispanic. He was the only non-Hispanic person on the street. And he just, but he was friends with those people. And he said, isn't it strange? And this is in, I think, 1999. So he pointed it out to me. He said, there's something going on, his exact words. And he was a paratrooper in World War II. He was a war hero. And, you know, I listened to him.
And now, you know, sometime later, you're here in Florida and you saw your neighborhoods disappearing of their minority groups.
I see people come and go in cycles 5 years. There seems to be 5 years.
Where are they going? Are they really going to Wisconsin? Are they really dying of overdoses?
Oh,
are they really dying of diseases that came out of your hometown?
I think.
Where did they go? Or your school district when you were the superintendent?
I was facility manager for Region 1 and 2. So
okay,
I had the best 28 schools. No one would transfer out of those schools. And when I asked the principals, where are the kids going? They said, well, they're going to better schools. And I said, well,
You already were the better schools.
I had the most demanding schools. And
so was everybody lying? Where was – or everybody was cool?
I don't
cool.
think anybody
so where was everybody?
There was a principal – who's dead now, and his name was Patrick Durkin. He was first a fireman, and I remember, if you type in Patrick Durkin, Chicago Public Schools, he wrote books. He was a fireman. He ran into buildings, and he saved a kid, a baby from a burning building, and then he went back in, and the boards fell on him, and he was burned. And over time, I learned when he shook his hand, he only had three fingers, because it burned off on his right hand, you know, his pinky and the other finger next to it. And he was a tough cookie to please. He was very demanding. Then he became a state trooper in Illinois, and then he didn't like that job because it was dangerous, and he went to night school and got a teaching certificate and became a principal of Gowdy Elementary. Now, he figured stuff out was going on, and when he died, and he died of what was called multiple myeloma, when he died and he left that school, that's when everything just went downhill. I started noticing less cars on the streets, less cars everywhere, downtown, all over the place. And then I started seeing body bags coming out of buildings in the middle of the night with full hazmat suited up people. And I remember seeing on the TV in bits and pieces that, you know, this is the time of Bush, that we could expect a bio war. Now, what I think...
Right. I mean, I sort of kind of remember that, too. But what were you doing out in the middle of the night? You just happened to come by it? Were you just passing by? Were you staking it out? Were you... Like, how did you come across people coming out in body bags, personally?
Because they were my neighbors across the street. I got up at 3 in the morning and looked out my window. They didn't write... This is in Oak Park, Illinois. They just carried some decomposed body in a stretcher and then put the bed in a big plastic bag. And it was going on and on and on. And this is 2006. And I'm like...
Were there any reporters reporting on it in the news? Was anybody covering it? Did that help?
Just me. But the strangest thing was the phones weren't working. You couldn't get out.
But you know who does report on some of this? Like Alex Jones, like some other... some people might call him, you know, a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, I think he's right on in some of the topics that he covers. It's definitely out of the mainstream. But these are some of the things that Alex Jones would cover. And you have Veritatis. There's another, I can't think of the guy's name now. I met him in person in Manhattan once. He's a journalist, and he's a... exposed a lot of stuff about Hillary's emails and things like that. And
let me give you a document.
But in any event, yeah. But what I want you to tell us, because the hour is going by fast. What I want you to tell us is, so all of these people, like you said, you were an eyewitness. You saw your neighbors being pulled out. Your neighborhood slowly but surely disappearing. People are dying. Other people
horrible.
Are sort of making excuses.
They bring replacements. You
Where
may not
do they
it.
Go? Where are they bringing the bodies to? Where are they bringing the bodies, is what I want to know, according to your research.
Well, several meat rendering places for dog food, concrete sintering factories where they make concrete. You know, there was a trash incinerator.
Some of them go to Potter's Field?
You know Potter's Field in New York. This is a,
right.
They don't use Potter's Field anymore. They cremate. There's a trash incinerator at 3500 or 3800 West Chicago Avenue.
They
so
put them in there.
Yeah, there was a big trash incinerator.
Just for the listeners, Potter's Field is a burial site in Island off the coast of Manhattan Island. That is was
billion,
there for burials for those who didn't have anybody, right? So you're like alone, you turn up dead. Jane and
if your wallet was taken and you were robbed, you would end up in Potter's Field. If you were suffered death protesting, if you were a woman protesting for voting rights, you were hauled off and into jail and then died and put into Potter's Field. It's a capsule of history, and there's a million bodies buried at least on Potter's Field. That doesn't include the ones that were incinerated. They were incinerating on Potter's Field was on Hard Island. It's like a 5-acre island in New York. There's these little places all cities have. Chicago has them. the 3800 West Chicago, the trash incinerator. I didn't know what that was. You think, okay, that's just for trash. Well, it's not all, you know, the prisoners have been going into
okay,
the trash
for a
long time.
I want to ask you another question, Ron, if I can. Now, I want to play devil's advocate. So I'm listening to you, and I'm saying, you know what? It's just impossible. There's no way that our government could be so evil and that they can't – let me finish.
Okay.
That they can do something so horrific as, like, forced killings just to sell organs, and politicians are involved, and these are the same people that, you know, the voters go out and say yay, and they pull the switch for yes, and they want these – politicians in to run our government, but what they're really doing is injuring us really badly, right? According to what you're telling us. So what would you say to somebody who said who just
I'm going to give you a link on the government website. It's entitled, it's from the Office of Detention and Removal Strategic Plan 2003 to 2012. And those were the Bush years. Detention and Removal Strategy for a Secure Homeland, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, web address www.oig.dhs.
Right, and a lot of this stuff also had, you know, came out of the Patriot Act, but still, you know, these laws and these directives of that the government, you know, now habeas corpus is lifted in a state of emergency, that there's no accountability, that they can kill Americans, that they treat Americans like enemy combatants. All these sort of loosely unconstitutional things are going on already. Those documents are out there. Like you said, they're right there on the government website. But people are sitting, but people, the general public, and they're watching the Kardashians. And they say, look at you, and they say, nah, that's not happening. Nobody's stealing people's
organs. Well, that's good. And so say that kid has cancer, or, you know, or so-and-so has an organ failure, and then they get put into the system, and then they suffer miserable treatment in health care and watch their relatives suffer. I mean, yeah, then it affects
them. I think so. Until you're affected, it's very hard. Yeah, until you're affected. What we need people to do is really go ahead and follow those links that you've been putting on my wall and that you've been linking to the show.
Yes.
Because when you do follow them, there is a trace and there is the data to show that the government does do all of these awful things against our civil liberties. And in fact, there's good probability to think that, you know, that particular, that facility with that NBC program with all of these 8 deaths a day on drug overdose, it leads me to believe that they're forcibly killing these kids. I mean, it doesn't make sense. And
That's in one place. Now, if you watch the NBC special, there's like 100 little dots all over Florida. 8 people are dying. And that's that one town in Florida where those are a day. So multiply it by the number of dots. So then look at the number of dots, and you can sort of put together how much you're talking about. And then $4 million per body, you know, that's a lot of approximately. I mean, it's
how much is all of this worth? Because another thing that I noticed on one of the videos I watched, they had a diagram of the human body, and it had pointed to all different uses that the body has. So it's like the
really
cornea,
horrible.
The liver, the, you know, every single part of the body, like arrows pointed to which parts of the body that can be sold with a price tag. So how much money are we talking about? So let's take the how much money we're talking about.
Billions of dollars.
Let's take the girl that died, I think she's only like 22, 23 years old.
Yes.
She died of a drug overdose.
Her parents sent her
from Ohio
to Florida.
The facility billed Medicaid thousands and thousands of dollars to treat her. She winds up overdosed. How much money can the facility get for her organs?
$4 million, the doctor told me, by the time they get the bone marrow. And this is horrible knowledge. I mean, it's no amount of praying can. I mean, this is terrible to know, but about $4 million at maximum.
That's a lot of money.
There's a horrible other thing that they're going to start doing, and there was a Dr. Robert White. Type in Dr. Robert White, head transplant. He started to do head transplants in Ohio in the 60s. This is with stem cells. They're actually doing this now. It's like, it's really scary. And I couldn't make this up. You know, there's, and then Dr. Robert White also talks about doing partial brain transplants. I started researching this to figure out where they're going. And I don't believe young people that are 22, 25 are dead. I think it's this toxic, well, it's called tetrodotoxin. It was developed by the Cubans. The Cuban doctors developed it, and they extracted that from the pufferfish and monkfish. And it simulates death. It's like that voodoo thing where you're not breathing, you have no brain waves, but the person
okay.
will wake up and have no brain damage. So this simulated death, always question if someone is dead. Don't buy it. Don't leave them. Don't, you know, just it's tetrodotoxin is the anesthetic, and it's very powerful. That's how they're able to house these organs indefinitely.
Oh,
and
I see.
Right,
interesting.
It's,
okay.
It's right,
and that's what keeps houses
in. It's right there mm-hmm. in the National Geographic inside the body trade. It shows you right there that in Virginia at www.lifenethealth.org, they're bragging. They've been storing body parts in a warehouse for 30 years. And that's just one place. These are all over the country.
And
so
is
the,
but are these body parts being accounted for? Whose body parts are they?
Don't know, but my suspicion is that there's 3,000 people that go missing every month, at least. So
in the country or in the area? Like, what is that?
In the country.
In the country, okay.
There's 3,000 people that go missing. Why can't they connect the dots with the organ? There's got to be more regulation on these hospitals. We the people must watch the people and demand whose pieces these are. The police need to go in there, or the FBI. And I think that health takedown is going to lead to the busting of the illegal organ trade, because it's not just the human fetus's body or baby organs and the undeveloped fetus that were being stolen. These are people of all ages, of all races. You know, once we allow it to happen to one group of people, it's like with Nazis. It's out of the bag. They do it with everybody or people that witness it. You know, I've had a lot of near-death experiences in cars that tried to hit me over the years. Jeff Rentz was hit in a very bad car accident in and around the time Teresa Severs was killed and Dr. Bradstreet. Jeff Rentz from the Rentz Radio Network was in a terrible accident, and he was never the same since. I was almost hit on the 28th of June, 2015, the same period where those doctors were killed. And I was reporting all sorts of things from Aaron Elizabeth, who does the health news from Dr. McCullough here in Florida. She does all this great work. And she was reporting on all these strange deaths of these really fantastic doctors. Dr. Bradstreet reversed Alzheimer's, cured cancer, and cured autism in children. That's a really great thing. A really wonderful gift to the American public. Well, he was in Florida, and he was found dead in the water, face down, just on the other side in Georgia, just at the border. So it looked like
wow.
he was being.
That's scary.
Yeah. It
yeah.
is scary.
Florida. Yeah. Florida.
He was. He died in Georgia, but he looked like he was being pursued. And you know how you said there are people following you? I believe you. If you say, you know, that it could have worked that way where he was being chased or his car was being pushed. You never know.
Right.
Or maybe
to
he
land
was
that
driven
way
out
that.
There.
Lots of mysterious things, you know, go on when it comes to money and power. And I just want to reiterate what you said about once they come for, you know, one group, they're going to come for you next because that power and that money just gets stronger. It doesn't get weaker. So, like, for instance, in what's happening in that drug facility, it's not about being a minority. It's they can target you. They can target anybody because of these young ladies and that just happened to be their parents had the forthright to send them to drug rehab in Florida because they think that's the best thing for them. And in normal circumstances, that might have worked out well if the facility wasn't, you know, selling organs. I just wish that the people, I want to figure out a way to get the public to do their own research and to look into the same things that you and
well,
I look into and others so that
well,
they
I
can
could,
see it for their own eyes because it's really sometimes it's like talking to a brick wall.
I put on that special Florida thing, I put a bunch of notes for you. I prepared, you know, I have sent this to the International Criminal Court of Justice, and maybe people don't
Is
like
any,
that.
Are you getting any recourse from any of these higher places?
Yes.
Agencies?
They,
and?
No, they're reporting not to visit Florida. It's too dangerous. It's extremely dangerous here. And there's a gentleman by the name of Billy Hayes that was born. He's from Florida, and he was put in a boys. He was put in a boys' orphanage, and he witnessed terrible, terrible things. If you internet search Florida mass graves or Florida White House boys, it'll show beatings of children and mass graves of children near Eglin Air Force Base, I believe it is. And he witnessed terrible, terrible things, children being killed. He was a boy himself. Now he's a 65-year-old man. He's been waiting for justice for those people to go to jail for what they did. And there's testimonies of the man that beat these children. And according to Billy Hayes, he's got a Facebook page and he does radio too. He said that these places are all over Florida, these mass graves. And he knows that because they made him do the operations where, you know, they horrible things.
They harvesting
you know.
Their drugs. Were they harvesting
Not
their
harvesting.
Too?
Back then, they just buried the – they didn't have the technology in the 50s and 60s to take out organs. Now they have a way to profit on them. And, you know, we all saw organ transplants on the TV and then transplanting hearts and different organs, and we thought nothing of it. Furthermore, somebody told me in Florida, the Department of Motor Vehicles, if you don't check organ harvest, they can go in the computer and switch that anytime they want with anybody. And age is
oh boy, that is awful. That should be a crime.
It is a crime, but they're criminals, and
yeah,
people
right.
have exposed this. You know, I think I sent you from the Florida Weekly. We're number one in public corruption. This is a Florida Weekly, let's see, back on 2012.
Hey, you don't have to convince me. I believe it.
June 20th.
I think this
okay,
state
Lee
sticks
County,
to high heaven.
Schuyler County, it talks about, you know, they would just dump bodies in a mat on the side of the road in a hole. And that was standard practice for these people. Now we've got cell phones. Now we've got cameras. You know, we're a little bit
Right.
And now we're on the internet. And the internet.
Can't keep us quiet. Like on shows like News Without Filters.
But, I mean, if you don't believe this is going on, you know, just look at the documents I posted. I mean, it is going on. You may say, well, how could this be going on? And, you know, most people would be like, oh, Cabrini Green. It was a low-income black people. And if you watched, you know, Good Times and JJ, you know, I grew up with it, and I didn't know what it was just a funny show, and I liked it. Well, I ended up moving to Chicago after I graduated from the University of Michigan. I'm like, oh, is that really what Good Times was right there? And they were poor people. And I just said one day to people, and it was right next to the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast in Chicago is like the nicest part of Chicago, right next to a project that the first Mayor Daley, old Mayor Daley, built. And then they built a whole bunch more down State Street all the way to Indiana. Hundreds and hundreds of them. And I saw those, you know, and I saw those people disappear. And I just wanted to know where they were going. They probably were put in a trash dump or they were incinerated. And that's
After their organs were taken.
I don't know if they had the technology in the 90s, but they probably did.
So they were just trying to really snuff people out, in other words.
I remember hearing about the trash incinerator on the west side. I just, you know, at the time I didn't have the internet. I was going to work on the Metro train or the bus or the L. I really didn't put two and two together. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to put this together without other people telling me what they witnessed. And let me tell you what somebody in Fort Myers told me. She was about 26 years old, 8 years ago, and she said, look, I want to tell you. She grew up here. She said she lost 75% of her friends, and she said they would get on cruise ships. She would never hear from them again, or they would meet some guy and fly off to another country. She would never hear from them again. And she wanted to tell me what her experience was. She said when she was 18, she was in downtown Fort Myers and somebody offered to bring her to Orlando. He said he was going to make her a MTV host or whatever. And she said she did that. And she said 3 weeks went by and he threw her a bathing suit and he said, here, you have to put this on. And then she said she was held down and injected with something and made her addicted.
Oh, no. That's awful.
Yeah.
We are coming down to the last part of the program, and it ends with a little song.
She was forced into this horrible thing, and, you know, she was 26.
How did she break free? How did she break free finally?
She wasn't free. All I remember is, she was the coordinator of ZombieCon, and it was the weirdest thing. It's like a devil night. It's the scariest thing, and they spit pig's blood out and do horrible, horrible things. It's where that football player was shot from Miami.
Sounds like a cult.
It's a satanic cult, I think. Yes, it is.
Sounds like a cult. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Well, you know, you've been a great guest, Ron. I'm so happy that you came on.